Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives that leads us through our days. And ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to seek you, God, that you would speak to us in that still small voice. Lord, that you would cause us to hear you. And Lord, that we would praise your holy name. And Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. As the season of fall continues, I have to say the colors that we've seen this year, the colors on the tree don't seem so brilliant as they have in years past, almost as if in the midst of the leaves dying, they forgot to get their last performance, the color show. And what about the season makes the squirrels so crazy? The other day, a handful of squirrels, five of them, I counted them, risked their lives as they dashed across the road in front of me. Granted, they were gathering their food for the winter and storing something up for the spring. It's their way of staying alive throughout the winter hibernation period. Yet some were truly at risk, as they waited till the very last possible second to dash across the road. None of them died, of course. But trees, they don't dash across the road. They just drop their leaves on the ground. And yesterday, a number of people came for the sole purpose of gathering them up. Leaves that were once green with life, sucking in the sunshine and converting it to food for the trees. And if you know trees, during the fall, as the sun shines less and less and the temperatures fall, as we move to the other side of the sun as an earth, trees begin to store their food so they can wait out the winter months until spring. You know, it seems like death and decay are all around us, yet what is really happening is life is being stored up so that the squirrels or the trees might continue to have life. Life. Life certainly seems to have gotten more hard lately. Doesn't it seem to you that people are becoming more angry with other people, leading to harm or even to death? There have been mass killings over the last few years, tragically at schools or colleges or in a movie theater. A small percentage of Palestinians over across the way and the small percentage of Israelis seem to just have it out for each other. And again, we find ourselves in the midst of killings. Gunmen shooting at cars on the highway. And just this week, a four-year-old in a pickup truck was killed as a result of another driver's road rage. I don't know about you, but it certainly disturbs the peace of life, so much so that it can cause anxiety to well up within us. Troubled times have a way of doing this to us, whether it's national or international, whether it's in the city or a neighborhood or even in our homes. And what concerns me most is even Christians can cause people to become anxious, to lose their peace. Sometimes those who follow Christ are in contention with those who live in the world because of the direction of the world around them, causing anxiousness. However, sometimes that contention happens with others who are also followers of Christ within the walls of the church, causing anxiousness. If we look at today's scripture, Paul asks for help for two women in the Philippian church so that they can mend their differences, the brokenness that occurs between them. Now, we're not told what caused the problems, but for some reason, these two women are at odds with each other, enough for Paul to say something about it in his letter to them. He says to help Christians, go ahead, let's go to that next screen. Read it with me. To be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, Help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Look, Paul's desire is that these two women, who have both spent time in ministry with him, helping the lost find Jesus, helping others who have entered into troubled times to find peace. He's asking that there would be help that they can find peace in their relationship, to live in peace, even in anxious times, especially in anxious times, to find peace. Like the trees and the squirrels, don't you wish we could store up peace in extra quantity so that we'll have peace? Especially through the storms of life that we all face. You see, we never know when our faith will be tested, or during a trial of life, how through prayer and our trust in God, how that will all hold up, how it will provide peace that we need in anxious times. Let's listen closely now as Jo Campbell shares with us a time in her life when through prayer she found strength and peace in troubled times. Joe?
I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. Keep alert, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong. Let all that you be done in love. And the title of my speech today is August 16th, 1991. And why would I think of that? August 16th, 1991 is the most unforgettable day of my life and the most recognition I have related to the importance of power and prayer. On August 16th, 1991, my daughter Sarah was 11 and my son David was 9. And we were at our cottage just north of Augray. A short way from the cottage was the party store where my husband had given our daughter permission to go and buy some candy. I was at the laundromat a short distance south of the cottage. My husband was outside doing yard work. As I was putting my laundry into the dryer, a woman I did not recognize rushed into the laundromat, grabbed my arm, and told me I needed to leave as my daughter had just been hit by a car. My first thought was that she was fooling me, and then I looked out toward the road and traffic was backed up a quarter mile from the cottage where the laundromat was located. I then believed her and she drove me back to the accident scene. We rushed out, leaving my laundry and car behind. I was frightened as anyone could be and knew that my daughter must have been in an awful accident to hold up traffic so far. And when I got there, blood was all over her face, and my husband told me that she was hit by a car going 55 miles an hour as she crossed the street. She was thrown over 80 feet by the impact, and her shoes were left behind where she was hit. This is when I began to pray. Pray that she would live. Pray that the ambulance would show up soon. Sarah could not talk, only scream. Then she was quiet as she lost consciousness. I was imagining the worst and fervently praying for Sarah's survival. The ambulance finally arrived and took Sarah with Earl to the Tawa City Hospital at about 100 miles per hour. I got a ride back to the laundromat to get our car and drove up to the hospital. Sarah was already rushed into emergency, and I was met by a nun who wrapped her arms around me and began to pray for us and my daughter. I felt then that the nun was an agent of God, and we were not going through this journey alone. I began to realize that our fears would lessen and peace would enter our lives through prayer. Shortly after I arrived, we were told by the emergency room doctor that Sarah's injuries were too massive and complicated for them to treat her there. They had determined that she had a broken arm, a ruptured spleen, broken ribs, a collapsed lung, and a severe head injury. They had her stabilized, but were concerned about fluid accumulating and putting pressure on the brain, which could end her life or cause extensive brain damage. They asked us where we would like to have her taken. We chose the U of M hospital, as they had a helicopter that could pick her up, and it was closer to Heartland where we live. We waited an hour or so until the U of M survival flight arrived. They put Sarah on it, but we were unable to ride in the helicopter with her. We hurried back to the cottage and called my husband's mother and asked her to come and get David, our son, from the neighbor's cottage. Then we called the pastor at our church to pray for us. Then I called my parents, who were very active in their church in Fort Lauderdale, and told them what had happened. I asked them to put my daughter's needs on their prayer chain. We knew then that thousands of people would be praying for Sarah and knew what power of prayer could do. We got back in the car, and we had 3 long hours to drive to Ann Arbor, not knowing if we would find Sarah alive or not when we got there. We did not talk at all that long drive. We each were praying the whole time that God would watch over our daughter and we would find her alive when we arrived. At this point, we did not know the extent of her head injuries, only that she was on the bridge between life and death. Psalm 4:3 says, "Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself, and the Lord hears when I call to him." We arrived at the hospital with prayers on our lips, parked in the emergency lot, and went into the hospital. As soon as we identified who we were, a pediatric neurosurgeon came out to talk with us. Sarah was alive, but in serious condition. This was our first answer to our prayers. She was alive. We had to sign papers that we understood she could die from her injuries. And after some time in emergency, Sarah was taken to Mott's Children's Hospital Intensive Care Unit. After 4 hours of waiting, we were finally able to see her. As we approached her room, another shock was waiting. She was on life support for breathing and IV tubes for nutrition. Wires and tubes were all over the place. There was enough equipment to launch a rocket, all of it beeping or whirling or humming in random rhythms. We approached her, spoke to her, and were encouraged when she squeezed my hand, and now I had tears of praise for God pouring down my cheeks. The pastor came the next day, and when he came into the room, Sarah opened her eyes and looked at him. This was the first sign that she was aware of others in the room. When the pastor asked her if she would like to hear the Lord's Prayer, she nodded her head yes. She could not talk with the breathing tube. We began to think that Sarah was going to make it and that the event that enabled her to respond was the answer to our prayers and God's healing power. After a couple of days, we moved into the hotel associated with the hospital and spent all day, every day, in Sarah's room. She couldn't talk due to the breathing tube. However, when we asked her who she would like to come and visit, she wrote on a piece of paper the name of her kindergarten teacher, who was a good friend of the family. Now we knew she could still write. There is great comfort in being part of a church community. After 12 years as a stay-at-home mom, our friends at church and the school I was going to start teaching at heard about the accident. They began to visit the hospital and bring us their prayers, food, clothing, bedding, and words of hope and comfort. Sarah was in intensive care for 2 weeks and moved to a regular room at Mott Children's Hospital for another 30 days. Slowly, they disconnected the tubes and wires, and she was able to eat pureed food and eventually solids. The prognosis was seemingly more positive for her recovery. There would be 2 more months in the hospital, then rehab school. And in the blink of an eye, a child who had excelled in school now requires tutoring and special services for the remaining years of middle school, high school, and college. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we have asked of him. God was definitely at work during these times and to this day. Sarah missed most of 7th grade because she was being transported to the rehab school in Ann Arbor. I also had to delay my start back to teaching. My superintendent understood my circumstance, and the kindergarten teacher Sarah was fond of had set up my classroom in my absence. Most all the kids at Sarah's middle school sent notes to encourage her recovery, and car insurance came through with funding tutoring support when she did return to school. The church family and my school colleagues delivered dinners to our house every night for a month. God healed Sarah in ways that gave her the courage and the strength to succeed in school. 3 months after the accident, our pastor wrote the church newsletter. "How is the Campbell girl doing?" someone asked him recently. And the pastor responded, "Do you mean Sarah, who was struck by a car by crossing US 23 near Tawa City? Sarah, who was throwing 80 feet and flown by helicopter to the U of M with critical life-threatening injuries? Sarah, for whom scores of prayers we offered? Well, why don't you turn around and ask for yourself? She's standing right over there." Pastor Miller added, "I'll never forget the audible gasp when Sarah in church that joyful morning. All the prayers, the gestures of kindness, the acts of support culminated with her presence in worship. I am here to say that prayer works in our lives. I have no doubt that God was listening and guiding us through these very difficult times. I started teaching almost a month late and found that the teachers were patiently waiting for me to arrive and welcomed me with open hearts. Today, Sarah is a 35-year-old mother raising a 9-year-old son. She has a master's in social work. She is a respected case manager for people with mental illness. I thank God every day for the blessings of Sarah and the will and courage she had to become successful in school and choosing a vocation that helps and serves others. When you have come to the edge of all light that you know and are about to drop off into the darkness of the unknown, faith is knowing that one of two things will happen. There will be something solid to stand on, or you will be taught to fly. Prayer goes where we cannot go. Thank you, God, for working in our lives through prayer and giving us the strength and faith to overcome difficult times and rise out of the deep valley of tragedy and worry. Thank you."
Can we ever be prepared for the difficult circumstances we can or we will all experience at different points in our lives? Whether it's the loss of a family member, a job that was held for years, a friend moves away, someone becomes nasty to us. I wonder if we can store up prayer for when we encounter difficult days or seasons of life. Like a tree, can we accumulate enough S-O-N, shine, and stored in our hearts, souls, and minds to help us manage the tense moments in our lives? Like a squirrel, can we store up enough goodwill so that we can hibernate through the downturns in life? Or must we know and be so familiar with prayer that when these days come, and they do come, that we can find peace in the midst of our trials? I think the answer is both. To store up and to know prayer. As Paul continues to write to the Philippians, read it with me. Next screen. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." You see, a part of what we need to do is to develop a consistent life with God, especially through prayer and being in the Word so that we will know God well. We store up a life of joy that way, where every moment of our day we are rejoicing in God. The one example I've seen in my life is my father-in-law, who just after he re- retired in his late 50s, experienced a swelling of the spinal cord that left him paralyzed from about the mid-waist down. He was a really active guy. He consistently said to me after that, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Joy and peace followed him. And we see in Joe's life one which has consisted of prayer and trusting in God to provide for her, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Joy and peace followed her. Paul continues in Philippians, read it with me. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Paul says in every situation, not just the most difficult ones, although those are the ones that bring us down to our knees. Even in the not so difficult situations, by prayer and petition, with what?
Thanksgiving.
Present your requests to God. I've shared this already, but a few weeks ago when my son was at 21 years old, needed a colonoscopy because of a blood issue in his colon, I woke up that morning in Port Huron where I was at a board meeting, and I have to admit, I was a little bit anxious. And I'm not an anxious guy. And so what did I do? I prayed. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God." And so I went to God in prayer. I lifted up my son and my family in prayer. And then I texted a handful of friends of mine, and I told them that I was feeling a little bit anxious about what was going on that day, and asked them to pray for my family and for myself. And the rest of Scripture gives that answer. Read it with me. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Might you imagine what happened to me? I experienced peace. The same peace that my father-in-law experienced. The same peace that Joe and Earl experienced. And countless others who have held on to this promise of God. This scripture. They've experienced peace. True peace. True peace in anxious times come only with knowing and trusting God with our lives, our situations, even when we're the cause of them. You store up joy. You ask for peace. Will you trust God with all of your lives? Will you know this scripture and hang on to it, live into it, and use it when you find yourself facing battles with anxiousness? I was listening to Christian radio this week when the host shared about a man who had taken on a sponsorship through the radio program. And he said about this man, his name was Mike, that he had recently rededicated his life to the Lord. And so the radio host had him share his experience. And Mike came on and said that he had begun to do some things, make some decisions in his life that he felt God was telling him not to make, not to follow, not to do. He didn't explain what the temptations were, but he did them anyway, he said. And he said it got him into a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, although he didn't elaborate what that was. Mike went on to say he felt a very heavy burden on his shoulders, almost too much to bear. It was here that he gave his life or rededicated his life back to God. Although he didn't specifically say it, he must have prayed for God to forgive him, to lead him, to guide him, and to take this burden off of his shoulders. And he said at that moment, "The burden that I was bearing, the load on my shoulders was lifted off, as if God had lifted the burden from him." He said whatever the circumstances he would continue to face as a result of his decisions, he could now face them with God. Friends, give all you have to God, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, all that you are. And give God your burdens too, no matter how light or how heavy they are. And hand them over to God so that you can experience peace in the midst of anxious times, a peace that transcends all understanding, that peace that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And then Paul ends with these words. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Imagine if you do these things, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if it's excellent or praiseworthy, to allow those things to dwell in you, to let your mind dwell on them. And the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. No, you are never, ever alone. Through prayer, through the joy that you've stored up in your life, God will be there. And the community of faith will surround you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for your love and grace, which leads us through our years. And we ask in Jesus' name that in this moment, we would all give our hearts, our mind, our strength, our soul, that we would give it over to you more and more, Lord, so that you would receive glory, Lord, so that you would be praised. And God, in those moments, that your peace would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.